Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 39 of the Juvo Hub podcast. Welcoming you back. Thank you so much for being here. Another exciting show with a guest that has just an amazing, inspirational story. One for all of us as we face challenges. There's no doubt we all face challenges, but it's always good to hear how someone else in our industry has faced those challenges and been able to have triumph despite trauma. You know, so that's going to be our subject and our discussion. In just a moment, we'll be able to introduce our wonderful guest. But before we get to our guest, Mark and I have our tips of the day. So Mark Howell from Howell Creative Concepts, what is your tip for today, my friend?
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yes, I have a tip about change. And so, Bertie, I hope this goes along well with our conversation today, but I am all about embracing change. And it took me, the reason I think I love these types of quotes and tips is because I was not one that embraced change when I was younger. And I think a lot of people, probably in many industries, struggle with change, but corporate change can be very traumatizing, you know, just personal change, obviously. But so my tip is a quote from Alan Watts, and it says, "The only way to make sense out of change is to plug into it, move with it, and join the dance." So I always say to my friends, change is inevitable, right? And so if you're not willing to go into situations in life, especially in business, in this industry, knowing that something could change your path, what property you work on, the team you're working with, I feel like you're sort of limiting yourself to the idea of experiencing everything that this industry can expose you to. And it took one of my old bosses that wanted me to transfer a lot from property to property. And she would say, "I want you to move to this property." And I'd only been at the last one for like a year. And so it used to make me really mad. And I was like, I don't want to go to another property. But as I realized the why behind it, I got to meet new people. My fresh sort of set of eyes or my personality might have brought a dynamic to the team that was needed. And so as I got older and I realized that change was a good thing. It was good for me, and it was good for the places and people that I was changing with. So I learned to dance with change, but that's my tip.
I love it. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Mark. Yeah, very good. Very good practical advice. So mine is a tech tip. So we've been on a series over the last few episodes talking about e-learning and some e-learning type best practices. So I'm going to give you another one today that has to do with course design. And this applies really whether or not you are making e-learning or if you are a facilitator for a live course or even for those who are public speakers. You know, this simple principle, keep it simple principle. There's that KISS acronym that a lot of people use with various words attached to it. But the idea is keeping it simple and not trying to clutter up your content when you're trying to teach somebody whatever your course is about. So design has a lot to do with that. And less is more. That is so important, especially in e-learning, when you are trying to make sure that there is a critical point that needs to be retained. If you cram all kinds of text and all kinds of visuals into that, you could easily lose your audience in that moment. So give some careful consideration to not only this to particular slide that you are putting your content on, but also like the flow of the content. So if you have a objective that you're trying to teach, what does that objective look like? Is each slide resonating with whatever that key point that you're trying to teach was highlighted in the outset of the course? So just some things to keep in mind. Make that part of your discussion when you're talking to your subject matter experts, or if you're working with a design, instructional design team, whatever that atmosphere is, ask yourself that question, am I making it simple? Will my students be able to retain this information? So that's kind of a technical retention tip for today. So thank you so much, Mark, for yours. That was excellent. So moving forward, as we look forward to talking to our wonderful guest, Bertie Kelly. Bertie, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Hey, guys. I'm good. Thank you. I'm excited to be on here and talk to Mark and Jonathan.
Yeah, we are so excited to have you with us here today. You know, and as I was preparing for this show, you know, I look at your LinkedIn account, I looked at your bio, but there is just so much there. So I thought, you know, it might be better for you to kind of just give us a highlight. You know, we're looking forward to hearing your story and what has propelled you throughout your career in property management. So can you give us, give the audience a little overview of what are you doing now? What have you been busy with? And where your career is at right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Roberta Kelly, but I go by Bertie since I was a little girl. And so for all of those, because they run into me, they don't know what to call me. I'm like, just call me anything. You can call me it. But I have been really busy. I released a book earlier this year on January 26th, Through the Storm of Early Trauma, Healing and Overcoming. And it was just a story about my childhood growing up and just some traumas that I've experienced and got, you know, went through and overcame. And I've started a property management company, and I'm currently just finished developing an app, and we are ready to start launching it. So just lots going on. I'm so excited.
Yeah. That's fantastic. You know, and congratulations to you and all of those things. You know, I'm excited just here because I know you've already given me the backstory of what it took to get to this place and despite challenges. And yeah. I know that's what our audience is going to love today. Mark and I are looking forward to hearing that. You know, I was introduced to you from the Institute of Real Estate Management with their podcast is From the Front Lines, I believe it's what it's called, mm-hmm. right? Front Lines. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, like that was just, yeah, I was out running. I was out doing my 5K and I'm like, okay, I literally stopped Bertie. I'm like, okay, screenshot. I know who this is now. And when I got back into my office, you know, I reached out to you on LinkedIn just to see if you'd be available for our show. So thank you for being here. We would like to know, you know, all of us face challenges. A lot have faced some very difficult things, and we can easily say it's a traumatic situation. So can you give us a highlight of like, where did things begin for you and what did it take to get to where you are today?
Oh, well, things began as a little girl and how I managed to power through situations growing up that has allowed me to be the adult woman that I am today. Had I not learned those lessons, had I not eventually healed as an adult, because, you know, as a child, I kind of pushed it in a corner, right? Locked it away in a closet. You know how you push all your monsters in the closet and locked them away and you try not to deal with them. But, you know, as you grow and you get older and you start dealing with life and what it throws at you and those curveballs, and those monsters start to creep out and you try to keep them in there until you have to deal with them, which is why counseling is so it's needed for mental health here and just dealing with COVID and just as the world just gets crazier and crazier, right. Having those outlets to deal with them. But it started when I was a little girl and life continued to unravel and unfold. And, you know, now that I'm still going through challenges as a woman, but it's new challenges that come along with how I learned to manage and navigate when I was a little girl became 10 times more, you know, difficult to kind of navigate and as a woman and going through those challenges. Mm-hmm. So what I learned and what I had to capitalize on was change management. right? We call it change management out in the professional world, but for me, mentally, it was change. And I remember I worked for The Gap. I was 18, and I remember they had a card that they gave every employee. And one of the values on there that I hold near and dear to this day was be a sponge, evolve and change, being able to pivot. And I took those to heart, because little did The Gap know, but I took those to heart, and I was able to then use those as an adult and know how to navigate through change and navigate through life's challenges. I hadn't had those values prior to that as a little girl.
Wow.
So isn't that something that you, what I love about this story is we can go in so many different ways with it, but your experience, and I'm sorry, where it began, but then what you gain from the knowledge, the tidbits from others, or even that gap, that card, you know, be the sponge, that sort of maybe started planting little seeds in your, you know, young formative brain, like, this is how maybe I can work through some of my past to make a great change for myself. So I love this, because you can probably be, and obviously are, a huge inspiration for a lot of people that are out here in the world, and either professionally or even personally. But I think it's fascinating that it is everything that we leave behind, every person that we touch on a daily basis, that we sometimes don't know how we're impacting, what either maybe happened in their life that we're unaware of, or what we do today or next could be changing their life for the better too. That's so wonderful. It's great.
Yeah. And I'm going to make sure too, Bertie, like your interview that you had on IRM, I'm going to say this to the audience, be sure, we'll have the link in the show notes, to kind of get the full picture of everything that you went through, because I think that will give everyone a really good background. You mentioned something a minute ago too that brought some intrigue to me. You know, some people, when they think of the challenges, and you eloquently kind of highlighted it, we don't want to face them. If there's trauma, if there's issues from whether it's work or whether it's from back when we were children, we typically tend to like, well, I'm just going to ignore it, and I'm not going to talk about it. You kind of touched on the benefits of where we can go to get help instead of ignoring it. Like, what are your feelings and thoughts on that? What have you seen, either maybe personally or in your network, where when people take that approach to mental health and dealing with trauma, how it can help them? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I will tell you, one of the things that I dealt with, and it was in the Black culture, is how I grew up. If you go to a counselor or shrink, is what they call them, you're crazy. And so that was another reason why I avoided it, because it's just like, well, I'm not crazy. You know, I can power through this. I can get through this. And I didn't realize the benefits of actually just sitting down with someone who did not know me, who, you know, would be biased, you know, to thoughts and opinions, who just could give an honest opinion. And you know, of course, they've studied, you know, and be able to not only give me an honest opinion, but also their expertise in what I was dealing with, and knowledge on topics and ways that I could handle, you know, anger and all these emotions that I'm dealing with. So I don't want to get too deep, but I dealt with molestation and rape growing up. And with that, I had to then carry it into trying to function in an adult world where I was expected to act as an adult, going out there and working. And one of the things I remember was really apparent was leave your personal life at the door. well, now you're asking me to be a different person. And so, but for me, it was the best thing someone could have said to me, because what I did was compartmentalized, and I, without seeing a counselor, I compartmentalized and put everything in that closet that I was telling you about earlier. And when I got to work, I was a robot. I was perfect birdie, and I'm trying to function, and I lost empathy for, you know, what people were going through. I couldn't connect with people. It was a hot mess. And it grew and grew to where eventually, like I said, the mental health part, it began to affect me. Life took over, and I started losing that control I did have on it because of the things I was going through in life as an adult. Now, as an adult, not a lot of people know this. I'm not sure if I mentioned this on my podcast, but not a lot of people know this. I'm okay with putting this out there because it's a part of my story. But I was homeless 3 times. And one of those times, my son was 13 months old, and he was on my hip. And I was walking in Laguna Beach, California, and didn't know where I was going to go. And I had suffered domestic violence, and I was expected to go to work and make money for my son. And my whole world was falling apart. And this is a snapshot in time of what my life looked like back then. Now imagine going through COVID-19 last year, and people losing their loved ones, mm-hmm. just crazy things happening to people. And this is a snapshot in time of their life. And we got a huge dose of that, just watching the news and just personally dealing with losing loved ones and being affected by this virus. And things just shutting down, people being laid off, can't pay rent, yet you're still expected to go to work. You can't leave that personal life at the door. So therein lies kind of what I had to learn to maneuver, how I had to learn to pivot. Hey, if something's not working, I'm trying something else, right? I'm pivoting. And I don't have time to think about, do I like this change? Is this change gonna, if the change helps, then you power through it and know that you're gonna level up. You have to be positive. And that's one of the things that I was always positive. I was always prayerful. And I just always looked to the better day, mm-hmm. right? I knew in my heart, this can't be what life is, although you have those moments. And I have had moments, just of not wanting to be here, not wanting to be a part of this. And that was prior to my son. And now I'm like, no. I may get that low, but it's like, no, I have my son to live for. But it's just, we're all human and we're all going through, each day, and we all go through traumas and we all have to answer to life and what it throws at us each and every day, every single moment. So it's more of a choice. It's more of how you react, right? And how you choose to react to a change, to adversity when it approaches your life, is in that moment, you have two choices, positive or negative. And that's essentially what I've lived by. And that's how I've been able to power through. I mean, I've had some things hit my life that I just didn't understand. But today I'm able to, be triumphant. I love the, and just know that Helen Keller said it best. She had a quote. It said, I'm going to summarize it because I don't remember it specifically, but she said that it was, life comes with adversity. And change is always going to be there. So I'm summarizing it. But overcoming is always there as well. Yeah. So there's always going to be some way you're going to overcome it. And even if I'm still breathing, I'm overcoming that moment, because guess what? I'm not dead. So that's a mouthful, but
That was amazing. That was awesome. And I correct me if I'm wrong, just so our audience, Helen Keller, wasn't she both blind and deaf? And yes. Has served as an, is that the same person?
That's the same person.
Right. Right.
She's an amazing woman.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've
resonated
with her. Go ahead, Mark.
I was going to ask Bertie, what advice, when I was listening to your story, and you said, you know, you have to, when you would go into work and you would become that other person, because that's what you were told to do, you realize that by doing that, you took away the empathy. You started to change, maybe not in a good way, right? You didn't have other feelings for other people. And, you know, I guess I've been one of those, when I know I'm struggling with something, I always look for somebody in that room, in my, you know, connection, that I can sort of kind of bond with and joke with. I think I like to bring humor into my world. But it's funny you say that, because there have been so many people that I have worked with that I could walk away from a day or the experience, whether it was a year or 6 months or 2 years working in an organization, and walked away and thought, wow, there's something really wrong with that person. Like, to have no empathy, to have no feelings, almost to have no emotion behind their eyes, you know? And that's very difficult for a lot of people in corporate America, because let's face it, we all probably come to work dealing with something, maybe not to the level that you have overcome, but what kind of ideas or recommendations could you give someone to help kind of power through that? Because I believe many people listening to this probably work with someone who is soulless, dead, you know, behind the eyes right now, because maybe there is some type of trauma that they're overcoming. But I never thought about that. I never thought about it until hearing you say it, that I just assumed maybe these people were soulless, but now it could be that they are trying to overcome some type of trauma in their own lives. So, gosh, you know, that if I had known this before, I might have been more empathetic or sympathetic to what they could have been going through. But it's hard to be able to pivot around people that are closed off. Do you have any suggestions on how to open yourself up to that idea?
Absolutely. So I created a workbook along with the book. It's weird, because it was just on my heart to do. I tackled your exact question because I wanted people to know the steps that I took to overcome my trauma as an adult. To speak specifically to what you just said, it comes in spurts. Like when we're talking about how to overcome certain situations or overcome a major life event. If someone has hurt you, right? Or if you're dealing with something, especially at work, because there is work trauma that is real. But if someone has hurt you or said something, you have to, or even if you had an argument with your spouse and maybe you got divorce papers served, like I have been served divorce papers at work, you have to be able to look past your pain and look into the pain of the person who's hurting you, because hurt people hurt people. And 9 times out of 10, if you deal with someone who is, maybe they seem jaded, or they're just not, you know, seem like they're all there, like you were saying, Mark, they're hurting. And they are trying to find a way not to show you and anyone else. They're trying to figure something out. I remember one time I went to work. I just got my car repoed, and I just started that job. I was working for Ann Taylor Loft right before I started as an assistant property manager at a property in Texas. And I couldn't keep up. Like I was paying, I had 3 or 4 babysitters on top of that, backup babysitters and retail, you know, it's just crazy. And I was like, God, I need a job that's provides stability. So one of like the first week I was there as an assistant property manager, I had a panic attack because I literally didn't know how I was going to get to work. The apartment, instead of to avoid eviction, they allowed me to move. But at that point, I had to have my son, he was watched by his grandparents, and I stayed a block or two down the street at a motel so I could walk to work. And every day I walked from that motel to that office, I kept thinking about my son, and I kept thinking about what am I going to do? How am I going to build? You know, what's going to happen? And then I would have to shut it off, go into the doors and pretend everything was okay. And I literally couldn't do it when I realized that I had nowhere to go and that I could possibly, you know, end up losing my job if I can't afford to keep staying in this motel, because then I'd be staying out on the street again. I absolutely didn't know what to do, and I ended up having a panic attack. And my boss is like, are you okay? He didn't know what to do. And he's just like trying to be there for me. And at some point I had to be honest. And so by being honest and letting them know exactly what was going on, then they were able to help. But one of the things is he never would have known anything I was going through if I just pretended that everything was okay. And so my advice is for people to stop doing that. Everything's not okay. Last year when George Floyd was killed and Breonna Taylor and, you know, several deaths were happening to Black people on national television, to go to work and for a white person to come up to you and say, are you okay? At that point, it's like, do you say yes to not appear to be this difficult person? Or do you say, you know what? No, I'm not okay, right? Yeah. And so that happened across the nation, that Black people came into work and they were just like, we're not okay. Because I mean, at that point, I was scared for my son. I didn't want my son driving. I didn't want him. And so it was a lot of things that I was going through. And even though it wasn't like there was something personal, like with, you know, Jonathan and Mark, like, oh my gosh, you're white, I'm Black. And, you know, there's a difference. And do you do this? No, it wasn't an assumption of automatically that you're now a bad person because Black people are being killed by white officers on television. But it's more complex than that. But it comes down to, is there empathy there? Are we talking about it? Are we trying to come up with the change? Because the change starts in within us, right? And then we're able to then spread that change. But being honest and saying, I'm not okay. Are there resources to talk about this? I don't want to come into work because I'm scared, you know, for my family, for my boys, for my life. These are real thoughts that people had last year. And so I'm glad that we were able to come together as a country and have conversations and questions and be able to talk about it, because that's another way to overcome trauma.
I
love that. And I have to tell you one thing that I learned about myself and friends was through the Black Lives Matter campaigning and what was happening, that I would go to some of my friends, either LGBTQ or my Black friends, and I would say, why don't we talk? I want to know from your perspective. And what was very fascinating about it is it isn't about my opinion anymore. You know, like, this is happening to you. You tell me what's going on, because I don't need to have an opinion about this. Like, I want to hear from you. And so the reason I say that is because I think what you just said and what I noticed is being available to have open dialogue about issues and being comfortable and not having to voice your opinion makes others feel so much more comfortable, right? And it allows them that sort of freedom to say, this is a safe place. And I think many companies try to say, you know, open door policy, or we can talk about anything you want to talk about. This is a safe place, but sometimes it's really not, you know? And so we're not really giving our employees the ability to come in and express what's really painful to them. And that's a shame. You're right. I think if we just accepted and embraced that, you know what, we're not always okay. And it might just take one of us stopping and saying, hey, I can see something's different about you. Let's talk, you know, be more sympathetic or empathetic, whatever it takes. But I learned a lot about just being quiet and letting my friends teach me what maybe I didn't know during these times.
People, I feel, should not judge others because of the way they want to live their life. Because look at the way that you're living your life, and it's not perfect. And no one's more perfect than the other. We're all just human beings. So I just want to commend anybody who's going to work every day and being who they are, being authentic to themselves. And that's what I truly try to live out within Milan Property Management. I want to make sure that everyone who comes to work for us knows that they can be authentic, that they can be themselves, that they're accepted and they're included. And I just want that's being taken care of and not being judged. No boo. Right. No bureaucracy. That's why I call it no boo.
I love that.
Yeah. And I think that that really just lends to how you started this conversation off too, Birdie. It's, you know, you mentioned something earlier about culture and mental health awareness and being and getting acceptance for challenges. Mm-hmm. And to your point, doesn't matter who we are, where we are, what the color of our skin is. Yep. We're all people. We all have challenges. And that getting over that stigma is huge, that it's okay. We had, Mark and I had a guest on a couple of months ago from Radco Residential that talked about DEI and what they're doing from a leadership perspective. Again, to your point, just what are the takeaways for our audience? You know, number one, It's okay. I read this article about this one employer who shared with his team member. His team member asked, can I take the afternoon off? I have something going on with my son. And the response was, you should never and will never have to ask for a request for time off for something that has to do with your family. And I thought, wow, I had to dig deeper and find out who this person was, just like I did with you. Cause I'm like, wow, that is absolutely amazing that an employer would look at that from that perspective. And what a change mm-hmm. from even just a few years ago. So as leaders, that's we're compelled to have a different narrative when our team members are having trauma, no matter what level it is. And not be like, even for our audience, I don't want anybody to think, well, maybe my life, I didn't go through what Birdie went through, but that's not necessarily the point, right? It's like, if you have faced something, it's okay to talk about it, talk mm-hmm. to a professional about it. I've had to go through it too. You know, that's a different podcast, but I have sought out professional help in my past as well. It's important. And I really think, and I appreciate so much that, you know, this, where this conversation is going to help everyone understand the importance of, you don't have to deal with this on your own. You know, we have to take the lead from a company perspective, but if we can, we also need to kind of like take the lead with ourselves and know ourselves and try and find that help. Is that a good summary of a takeaway? I don't know what your thoughts are, Birdie, on that.
Absolutely. I love that. I summarize it all in power through and level up.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So Yeah, this is great. You know, what a good message. And again, from trauma to triumph, you know, and I think this is a good opportunity for us to kind of pivot just a bit to, you mentioned earlier that you had a book and, you know, you were outlining some of your items that were on your worksheet. You want to tell the audience a little bit more about the book and what's its title and where can people find it?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. So we hit Amazon bestseller 3 times in the first week that it released. So I was excited about that. We hit it in 3 different categories. And it's Through the Storm of Early Trauma, Healing and Overcoming. And that can be found on Amazon. They can also get that on, we have it linked through Birdie Lynn, birdielynnkelly.com. And so they can go on there and they can also find the workbook that I created for it.
Awesome. And we'll make sure we have that in the show notes, the link to your site so people can get more information on that.
I need to
check that out myself too. I haven't had a chance, but that's, thank you for making that resource available. So in kind of like a summary then, like what would be your goal? You've mentioned, I think, a couple of things, and I've heard level up a few times. And I hope you tell us why you say that, because you made me so happy when you told me when we were doing our pre-show chit chat. So like, what's your like go-to piece of advice? Like what would you share to kind of close the show out? What's your mantra?
Well, I always remember three things. So the first thing I like to remember is the power through and level up, because I'm a gamer and I would power through those levels, Super Mario Brothers and now Fortnite, which my son like swears, like he's like, mom, just stop. and you know, because, you know, at the end of each level, I'm going to level up. And so that's just how life is. At the end of each adversity, that storm's going to pass and I'm going to level up. And I always remember that hurt people. So it's always going to allow me to do what I was sharing with Mark, is making sure that if somebody's coming to me and trying to hurt me, you know, or they're trying to, you know, speak bad things or what have you, they're only masking what's in front of them because they don't want to see that hurt. So you always have to look past your pain that they're inflicting and look at theirs and try to understand the why from there, because it helps for you to forgive them and move on and move forward in life. And then the last thing is life is funny. Life is always going to be funny. And so you have to look at the humor. I think, Mark, you were saying that you just have to, that there's a humor, you know, side to life, and there's always something funny about it. You're going to look back at yourself one day and laugh. And even through the hardest moments, you just look to humor. I mean, the doctors, physicians tell cancer patients to do it all the time. Hey, go watch funny movies. It's, you know, because it's stress impacting your body. So once you release, you know, that laughter, oh my gosh. So remember, life is funny. And I put that in my book too.
Beautiful. Great words to live by. Thank you so, so much. Appreciate you being on the show. How can people connect with you?
Oh, they can connect with me several ways. I am Birdie on birdielynnkelly.com. You can look that handle up, should pull up LinkedIn, my property management company, Milan Property Management. It's milanpm.com. They can connect with me there. And Ream, reamapp.com, my app that I'm developing, and they can connect with me there. So if you're an investor, a developer, a client, look at this. I got a lot going on.
Yeah. No, that's what's so beautiful about this story. And we're so grateful that you came on, because we're excited for you, excited for your new product. You know, I got a chance to take a peek at a couple of the pages that were developed on LinkedIn, and I need to dive in more. So congratulations to you. And thank you for sharing all of these amazing, awesome resources. We'll make sure there's links to all of those in our show notes so that people can connect with you. You have to. That's my word, everyone listening. Connect with Birdie. You know, what a great show. Thank you, yeah. Birdie, so much.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. So, hey, Mark, thank you again for being my amazing co-host. How can people connect with you, my friend?
I'm going to tell you how, but at first, before I say, Bertie, I just want to say this is coming to the end of the show. And I want to say this before we log off, that it has been an absolute joy speaking with you. The energy, even just on Zoom, that is all over your face, in your eyes, in your message it's even brought inspiration to me. And I can't wait to dig deeper into getting to know you. So I'm probably going to be stalking you a little bit because I am absolutely fascinated with your energy. It has been so, so refreshing. Thank you. And for people that want to reach out to me, it's howlcreativeconcepts.com, but Howl is spelled H-O-W, like Howl at the moon. It's H-O-W-L, sorry, at howlcreativeconcepts.com, sorry. And then it's Mark at howlcreativeconcepts.com. I'm also on LinkedIn as just Mark Howl, which my last name is actually H-O-W-E-L-L. But you can reach out to me there.
Very good. Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you again, Bertie. My name is Jonathan Saar. This is the Juvo Hub Podcast, episode 39. Make sure you connect with us, connect with our show on YouTube or any of your favorite podcast stations. And thank you in advance for sharing this episode and for your kind and wonderful reviews that you've been sharing with us, not only publicly, but Mark and I get a fair bit on the side too. So thank you so much for your support. We'll see everyone on our next show. Take care.